So in many different songs, right, they all have different kind of themes to them. And that's one of the things we'll also be doing in this series, is kind of pulling out some of the themes behind the songs. And so this morning, the theme that I really kind of want to pull out of this song is that of expectations. Because, I mean, it's right there in the song title, Long Expected. I mean, we all have a lot of different expectations, right? Especially in this season. Some of them are small expectations, and some of them are much bigger expectations. And maybe you know this, but the season of Advent is kind of a season of expectation. It's a season of waiting and longing and a desire of reflecting back on Christ who did come and then forward to the Christ who is coming again. And the expectations of the Israelite people in his first coming and our expectations now of his second coming. But the expectations in this season aren't just of those things, right? We have lots of expectations upon us this season. I mean, if you're hosting Christmas this season, you can just, I mean, the list of things just keeps on going, doesn't it? You know, the house has to be clean and tidy, and then you have to wrap all of the presents and make sure they have all nice bows on the top of them, and then you also have to make sure that all of the food is prepared, and the list and the list and the list, right? And maybe when you're thinking about those presents, you're trying to make sure you get just the right present for them so that they know you truly love them this season. Or maybe you're in my shoes where you have to get just the right present so they know that you're the coolest uncle, right? But then Christmas morning arrives. And what we begin to realize is that, well, although all of the presents are neatly wrapped under the tree, well, we've missed completely the point of the season, wrapped up in all of the expectations that brought us to this point. And look, don't get me wrong, right? I mean, a clean house and nice decorations and getting good gifts they're good things, right? But they oftentimes become the sole thing or the only thing that we focus on, and then they begin to define us, right? If I don't get just the perfect gift, then they won't think I actually love them or whatever it might be for you that it begins to define more of who you are as well. And those expectations of us aren't just in this season. In fact, they start from birth, right? When the minute somebody knows that you're coming, they start actually putting expectations on you. Your parents start thinking of all the expectations and all of their hopes and all of the things that they wish for you, and all of the expectations upon them to have to raise you. And I mean, the list again just kind of goes on and on. And, you know, for different parents come different expectations. We might have expectations that our kids get, you know, all straight A's in school, or they're going to be the next great football player, or maybe they're going to be a classical musician, or you name it. And then the expectations begin to become what matters. And if I don't live up to mom or dad's expectations of me, well, then they may not show me their love and affection, which unfortunately all too often happens. And it's a weight and it's a burden upon us. And sometimes those expectations even continue after we leave the house, or even after that parent passes away, we still feel the weight of their expectations upon us. And then all of a sudden we have expectations of our spouses and of our kids and of our friends and of our jobs. And I think you're starting to get the point. the expectations just continue to build. But this morning, our song for this morning helps us to realize we're not alone in having to deal with expectations. Jesus lived under a great number of expectations as well. And he also, this is kind of interesting, fell short of those expectations. You see, when Jesus came, he didn't meet all of the expectations of the people that he came to save. He came to do something different. And that's really the point behind the song this morning. The song lists four different things in particular that Christ came to do. And it starts each of them by saying he was born to do this. It says he was born to set his people free, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, and born to reign in us forever. And yet, the expectations of the Israelite people, of the Jews at the time, was that he was going to come and be a great warrior, that he was going to come and conquer the Romans and free them from oppression, that he was going to come and be some great earthly king. They had all of these great expectations built up because they'd been waiting for quite a while for him to show up. That long expected Jesus. You see, God had promised the Messiah's coming way back actually in Adam and Eve. And then he reiterated that expectation and that the coming of Christ was coming to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they've been waiting a while. And maybe you understand this too, right? The longer we wait for something, the greater the anticipation and the more expectations we put on something, right? Maybe you're like a lot of other people who are really excited about the new Avatar movie that's coming out. You know, the one about the blue aliens? Well, it's been 13 years in the making. The original one came out in 2009. The expectations for that movie are sky high. It better be really good. They've had 13 years to perfect it. Now take into consideration the coming of the Messiah, who's been generations in coming. So what does it look like then that Christ came for specific reasons? And so let's dive into a couple of those this morning, starting with born to set thy people free. Talk about a purpose-driven life, right? I mean, we often talk about the fact that like an athlete, say like Michael Jordan, was born to play basketball, right? I mean, that's just what he was born to do. Well, the scriptures say Christ was born to set his people free. That's a kind of a burden, maybe, to carry. That's a high expectation. I mean, what does it even mean to set thy people free? Free from what exactly? Well, the song continues, right? Free from our fears and sins, release us. And so we'll kind of take those apart this morning. We'll start with free from fear. Free from the fear of never feeling like we're going to be good enough. Free from the fear that we might never be loved enough, free from the fear that we might never be truly accepted by others or even by God, for that matter. Jesus came to set us free. But what does that actually look like, to be set free from some of these fears, free from some of these fears of the expectations that have been put upon us? Because if you talk to the experts about being free from expectations that might lead us to feel like we're never good enough, one of the main things that they say is you just need to let go of your desire to be perfect. And that's how you can, you know, be free from those expectations. Just let go of your desire to be perfect. And, you know, that's actually kind of good advice, right? That we don't have to be perfect, right? I mean, because we all struggle with that oftentimes, right? I mean, I struggle with that, the desire to be the perfect son, or to be the perfect friend, or to be the perfect vicar and deliver the perfect sermon. And I mean, you know, there's just all of these expectations that we put on ourselves to be perfect, because we're worried that if we're not perfect, then people won't like us, or people won't show us love. And so I don't want to let go of my perfection. I need that so that others will like and need me. So how do we let go of our need for perfection? Well, here's the truth this morning. You don't have to prove yourself to God anymore. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to prove yourself to God anymore. You see, too often we bring to God the same thing we bring to most relationships, that I have to perform, I have to do everything that I can so that God will love me and not reject me. But that's not the truth. We bring to Him the maybe broken relationships from our parents, and if I don't make Dad happy, well, then He won't love me. But that's just not the way God works. You see, we all know the verse John 3:16. But John 3:17 says this: "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." You see, Jesus wasn't born to condemn you. He was born to save you and to set you free. So that's how we put our need for perfection aside. Because in all of this, while you were still a sinner, while you were still trying to get God's love, He sent His Son for you in the midst of all of that. So that even when your sins and your desire to be perfect, even when your sins and your desires to prove yourself and to live up to others' expectations weighed you down and maybe even brought upon more sins, right? Because, you know, you were trying to prove yourself to get that new promotion, and then when it was given to somebody else, well, you became jealous and you began to talk behind their backs. Or maybe you were trying to show yourself worthy to your in-laws, and so you spent all of this money on this great Christmas feast, and then you didn't have the money for the things that you actually needed it for. Or just the stress of trying to hold it all together. Well, it's led you now to your favorite vice. And now that you've fallen short of that expectation, well, you just give in again and again and again because, well, you've already tarnished your perfect reputation, so what's the point now? But Jesus came to set you free from those things, that they don't have to hold you down anymore. And maybe we let that color the way we look at the expectations of others. That if I am perfect before God because of what Christ did for me, because of the perfect life Christ lived, well, then I don't have to be perfect before everyone else. And so we can lay down that burden this Christmas. And we can sing with this song in great thanksgiving that he was born to set us free. But then I guess maybe the question becomes, well, who really is this Jesus that he could be born to set us free? Well, the song continues. It says, he was born a child and yet a king. Now, that's another one of these lines that we can really easily just read right or sing right through. Born a child and yet a king. I mean, we all know that, right? Jesus was born a king. It's just something we know. But have you ever actually stopped to think about that phrase, born a child and yet a king? Because when you're born into a royal family, are you born a king? No. No, you're born a prince. But Jesus was born a king. There's actually some historical reference behind this. It goes all the way back to the Israelite people when they first came into the promised land. You see, God was establishing them as a nation, and they began to grumble against God and say, we want an earthly king to rule over us. And God said, no, you don't. I'm your king. And the people said, no, we want an earthly king to rule over us. And so they rejected God as their king. And God said, you don't understand. An earthly king is going to rule over you with an iron fist, and he's going to demand taxes of you and maybe even your life, and he might even go astray. And if he goes astray, he's taking the nations with him. He's taking you with him. And so God says, you don't want this. And they said, no, we do. And so God says, okay, have it your way. And so the very first king, Saul, walks away from God's plan and design. And the heartache that that brings, not only to God, but to the people. It eventually divides the kingdom and they become under other rule. And it's crushing to them because they wanted to put something else in God's place. And so often we do the same thing, right? Especially in this season. It's so easy to put other things in the place of God, the anticipation of great presence under the tree, or all of the work that we have to do just to get to that point, or we've talked already about all of the other expectations we put upon us, and so we put those things in the place of God, thinking they will be what brings us joy, what brings us hope, especially on Christmas morning, if everything's just all neat and tidy when we wake up that morning, and then I can just sip my coffee with the family and it'll all be okay. Exactly. Yep. The Jews anticipated the arrival of the Messiah and who he would be because they expected him to be their rightful king. But as already mentioned, Jesus didn't live up to their expectations. He came as a humble servant, not a warrior. He came as the son of a carpenter. He came to rule over a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly one. But the signs of Jesus' kingdom were there from the beginning, right? I mean, the Magi show up, right? And they ask, where is born the King of the Jews? And they bring presents worthy of a king to the child. And yet, when Jesus is older, he would be rejected as that king. In fact, during his trial, Pilate would ask the people, do you want me to crucify your king? And the people said, we have no king but Caesar. And so this king who didn't meet their expectations, wearing a crown of thorns, came into his true kingdom. The one where he would reign over all things. And here's the interesting piece. If we put Jesus back in his rightful place as king, well, then he is the one that can deal with all of the other expectations, because the things of this world pale in comparison to who God is and who we are as children of the king. What are the expectations of others matter when the king of the universe has called you his, and you're an heir of his kingdom? As an heir of God's kingdom, all of his possessions are yours. His home is yours. His title as child of the king is yours. How might that change the way that we live our lives if we understand and know that we're an heir of God's kingdom? I mean, just take the expectations of money that we often put on ourselves or others put upon us. As heirs to God's kingdom, everything that we have is a gift from him. And you know what that also means? There's more where that came from. And so that frees us to be generous to others, unlike others can be. Because God's the one who always provides. And so why do we live under the expectations of wealth when our Heavenly Father, the scriptures say, owns the cattle on 10,000 hills, which is just a fancy way of saying he's got more money than you think he does. And it's a blessing he longs to pour out to us that we might pour it out to others. Because our treasure isn't here on earth, our treasure is in heaven. And look, I get it. If we make God our king, it means that we're going to have to live our lives counterculturally. which is one of the reasons maybe we don't, because that's another expectation of the world, is we would just fall in line with them. But what we quickly begin to realize is that the momentary gratifications and things of this world, they pale in comparison to what is coming for us. You think your Christmas feast is going to be incredible? Wait until you get to have one around the table of the King. And Jesus rules and reigns even now. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord and King. And that he was born to reign in us forever. That the promise to you this morning isn't just a promise for right now, although it certainly is. It's also a promise for tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, into eternity. That the only expectation placed on you by God is that you would be his child. And because of that, get to live with him in eternity. Because when he came 2,000 years ago, he was continuing his promise to set everything right and new again, which he will do in his return. And we've all got expectations about what that return will look like, but this is the thing I can guarantee you. It will be beyond our wildest imaginations. And he'll come to you, and he'll come to me, and he's just going to say, "Welcome home, child." And so this season, in this meantime here together, in this time of expectations, go ahead and make the best Christmas turkey that you can make because it brings you joy. Or wear the ugly Christmas sweater because it embarrasses your kids. Or give generously from your heart without the need of obligation, whether or not Uncle Joe likes the shirt you gave him or not, or whether or not Mom finds a speck of dirt on the mantelpiece. Because those expectations are put aside in who Christ is, that he was born to set you free, born to be King, to deliver us back to God and to reign in us forever. And that truth is what we cling to this Christmas. Again, the only expectation upon you is that you would be a child of the King. O come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee.